It's here and now. Recently, we hosted an evening with the Bravo talk show host Andy Cohen at a sold-out Back Bay Event Center in Boston, a night sponsored by Harvard Books.
Please join me in welcoming Robin Young and Andy Cohen.
I received a very warm welcome, very nice. Then Andy came out.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
Simply put, Andy Cohen's fans adore Andy Cohen. One told me, he feels like he's my best friend. But she knows he's not. He's Sarah Jessica Parker's best friend. Here they are on Andy's talk show, Watch What Happens Live, with Andy's parents doing a pretend Sex and the City skit.
And action.
He's a bisexual.
Well, I could have told you that, sweetie. He took you ice skating, for God's sake.
I know. The weird thing was he was so open about it. He was like, you know, hi, I'm bisexual. Like, you know, like, hi, I'm from Colorado or something.
I don't think you're allowed to be bisexual in Colorado.
Andy Cohen is also Anderson Cooper's bestie. Both are openly gay and toured together to raise money for victims of the Orlando shooting.
Is there booze in this?
There is not. Yes.
Okay.
You can have booze if you want.
No, on
Andy's show on Watch What Happens Live, there's always...
Yes.
They ply you with alcohol as soon as you go.
Andy Cohen is just plain friends with everyone. His new book, Superficial, is his second diary of daily celebrity interactions, including with the casts of the various Real Housewives shows, those docu-soaps that follow groups of newly wealthy women in places like Orange County, California, and Atlanta, so that viewers can watch them spend money and turn on each other.
Give me the name of the guy I've slept with that's married.
You don't even know the name of the guys. How are we supposed to know?
The real hypocrite in this room is Bethany.
Who are you calling?
My boyfriend's daughter.
Oh, God.
You are born a liar and you are die a liar.
You're a horrible person.
Andy is the executive producer and host of the Housewives franchise. How did that happen? Press reviews include words like vulgar and desperate. One housewife, Teresa, went to jail for fraud. Andy studied journalism at Boston University and spent 10 years at the staid CBS News. How did that go from CBS News to Real Housewives? I mean, how did that...
Well, look where our country is now. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I always loved news, and I always loved entertainment. So I feel like I just kind of married the two, because the thing that is great about The Real Housewives is that it's real. We cast highly volatile, emotional, driven people, which is why it's real. But I used a lot of the skills that I learned at CBS News over those 10 years, recognizing great characters.
You know, there are people who think it's wonderful that you did the Real Housewives franchise. Yes. And there are people who think it's the end of civilization as we know it.
But now that we've seen otherwise...
But some of them are in the news business. You talk about bumming into Brian Williams.
Right. I ran into him the night that Teresa was sentenced. And he was like, oh, your girl. Great job, you know. And I said, well, I have the exclusive interview tomorrow, Brian, so...
But do you ever feel a little uncomfortable? I mean, there's that time that there was this huge cat fight and you got thrown into the middle of it. It was suddenly the Jerry Springer show. You're on the floor. And it's people so often not at their best. And as you said, you cast them to get this kind of volatile thing. Do you ever feel a little badly?
Well, I think that, and I was asked recently if I thought that the Housewives contributed to the discourse in the political arena today. And I think it's an interesting topic. I think the reason that this show, one of the reasons the show works is it's sociology for me. It's sociology of the nouveau riche and the riche. And it's about human behavior. And we love judging other people's human behavior, I think. And I do think that it sometimes is about good versus evil. And hopefully good wins in the end. And hopefully, you know, you see me with them at the end of the season, and those reunion shows are meant to be like, you know, the final reckoning, and it is meant to be, you know, will Kelly Dodd take responsibility, honestly, or ownership? Will she take ownership for any of the things that she said? Now, if you last saw week, it looks like she won't, but you know what? We move the needle next week. I'm not saying that she comes out of it like Mother Teresa, but I don't know. I think they're not meant to be role models. Some of them are role models for real. Some of them are role models. And the show, if the show, do you watch The Housewives? You don't.
Well.
That's okay. No, that's okay because.
I work for public radio.
That's a lot of public radio people watch The Housewives.
So I'm
going to
say
promise.
It quietly.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay, good. Okay. There's a moment in the book where I have a reporter from The New Yorker who is interviewing me about Bethany Frankel, and she says, can you explain The Housewives to me? Because people who read The New Yorker don't watch The Housewives. And I said, sweetie, no. No.
But help me with this, because I do often feel uncomfortable. I don't like to see people...
In conflict?
No, not just in conflict, but put down or maybe right. humiliated. I don't like that. Women, too, set up against each other.
Well, I know, and they sometimes are. If it was only that, and that was the only note, I don't think 11 years later we would be talking about this show. I think it would be long gone. I think it's also about friendship, motherhood, being a husband and wife. I think that some of the divorces that have happened on The Housewives have happened. They may have stayed in bad marriages forever and not had the strength or knowledge about the situation they were in if they weren't on this show looking at themselves and having other people say, look what you're in and look what you're doing. And somehow they have the strength of, wow, I have a voice now. I have a platform. And they take themselves out of it. There's a moment in the book where I debate Gloria Steinem about The Housewives, and I lose horribly. It's terrible. I'm the fool that on live television is like, yeah, we should debate this right now.
If the show was what you described,
yes.
I would feel differently.
But you don't feel that it's that.
No.
You don't.
No. It is women all...
Hopped up.
Plastic surgery
right.
and
okay.
fighting with each other.
Okay.
It is a minstrel show for women.
Okay. All right, and I'm not going to win this argument whatsoever. Let me ask you this. Why have you watched
like
it just sociologically?
It's like watching a train wreck.
It's like watching...
Well, Andy may have lost that debate, but he wins big time because Gloria Steinem is dissing one of his shows while on his show. Everyone goes on his show, and everyone is in his book, Superficial. Is it as exhausting to be you as it is to read you?
Right. Sometimes. It depends. You know what? I consider myself lucky. I'm doing my dream job. I'm doing exactly what I always wanted to do.
Well, in a name drop competition, you would name
I would
drop,
win
mic
in a,
drop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So here's a little. Okay, got a text from Cher. She's worried about Ebola. Have felt so lonely since John Shea's wedding. Went to dinner with Matthew and SJP, Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker, Anderson Cooper, Ralph Fiennes, at the Colbert finale with Patrick Stewart, David Gregory, Christiane Amanpour, and Jeff Tweedy. I mean... That's one paragraph.
I know. But look, this book is inspired by Andy Warhol's diaries. It's a window into pop culture during a certain period of time.
It's so openly a joyous diary of being a gay man.
Yes.
And we just don't see that. We don't read a lot about people and their best friends, Anderson Cooper, or, you know, really, really being attracted to the deck guy, I think, on a boat or something.
I love a yachty.
But have you always been that comfortable?
When I was in the closet for the first 2 years at BU, I was really scared. I was sure of myself in other ways.
Yeah.
I'm the only gay guy on late night television, and I always say that my show... is like me. It's gay is a part of the show, but it's not the show. Part of what I am is gay, but it's not all I am.
You also seem, I was curious how you describe yourself, because you seem at the end of the book to be a very different person.
I think so. It's interesting. I didn't consider myself a very introspective person, but I think I became one. Through the last book and this book, I kept a diary for 3 years. I mean, every day wrote in it. What started to happen is that I started to see what I did last year on that date. Or I started to see a pattern of what I was doing. And I just started to think, am I going to do this forever? Is there something greater for me? And so I started asking myself those questions. And it was uncomfortable for me. But they're there. And I have to say, I became a little existentially exhausted by the end of the book. And by the last entry, I realize I am actually kind of emotionally exhausted from reporting on my own life. And I said, I just have to go live my life now.
Well, it sounds like you call it superficial. And it is bar hopping and restaurants. And you're at a bar, and if there's nobody there, it's like, I'm not real. I'm not happening. And maybe there's another thing besides freeing. Maybe it's maturity. You also say, hey, maybe there's something other than me that the world could be revolving around, including maybe a child.
Right, yeah. I mean, which is something that's been in the back of my mind, but it's something that becomes more to the front of my mind, yeah.
Well, I think you'd make a great dad.
Well, thank you very
Andy
much.
Andy Cohen. Our visit with Bravo's Andy Cohen at the Harvard Books event for his new book, Superficial. So, okay, I've watched Housewives a couple of times. I'm trying to convince Andy to make it more of a 12-step spiritual program. Stay tuned. Here and now.